Welcome to your midday NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Hurricane Dorian pounded the Bahamas yesterday, killing at least 5 people and putting large areas of Grand Bahama Island underwater. Dorian still poses a major threat despite being downgraded to a Category 2, ahead of its expected advance on the U.S. coast, where more than 1 million people were ordered to evacuate.
Hurricane Dorian has left a deadly mark on the Bahamas. Several deaths were reported after the storm slammed the islands Monday, while the U.S. Coast Guard transferred several critically injured people to a hospital in Nassau.
The initial reports from Abaco is that the devastation is unprecedented and extensive. They are deeply worrying. The images and videos we are seeing are heartbreaking. Many homes, businesses, and other buildings have been completely or partially destroyed.
Dorian has been hovering slowly over the Bahamas for almost 2 days, packing winds of 130 miles per hour and storm surges of 10 to 15 feet, higher than many rooftops, making it one of the most powerful Atlantic hurricanes on record. The dangerous storm is currently hovering east, northeast of West Palm Beach. It's forecast to bring hurricane-force winds and rain to the Florida Peninsula by Tuesday evening. Mandatory evacuations have been issued in at least 9 Florida counties, as well as parts of coastal Georgia and South Carolina.
You know, get out now while you have time, while there's fuel available, and you'll be safe on the roads.
Peak impacts will arrive in North Carolina and Southeast Virginia Thursday into Friday, while the storm could then strike Atlantic Canada as a post-tropical storm this weekend.
At least 25 bodies have been recovered, and divers are searching for others missing around the wreck of a boat destroyed by a blaze off the coast of Southern California. It's being called one of the area's worst maritime disasters.
Divers searched for more bodies early Tuesday morning. The fire broke out aboard the Conception, a 75-foot boat, at about 3:15 a.m., just off the shore of Santa Cruz Island. Officials explained that passengers slept in the ship's lower quarters while 5 of the crew members, who were above deck, escaped. Coast Guard Lieutenant Commander Matthew Kroll revealed that 25 bodies have been recovered. He added that rescuers have located 5 more, but due to unsafe conditions near the sunken vessel, they have not yet been collected. The search is set to continue overnight for the remaining missing people. Santa Barbara County Sheriff Bill Brown spoke to reporters about the recovery process.
The condition of the remains that are recovered subsequently will determine the speed at which we are able to identify any of the victims.
The Conception, according to Worldwide Diving Adventures website, was on a 3-day excursion to the Channel Islands and was due back in Santa Barbara at 5 p.m. on Monday. The cause has yet to be determined.
In Hong Kong, thousands of protesters rallied at the iconic Tamar Park in front of government offices today on the second day of a citywide strike. NTD's Jeremy Sandberg was on location to bring us details of the event.
Protests originally began in opposition to a now suspended extradition bill that would allow individuals to be sent to mainland China for trial. Many protesters cover their faces to try to keep their identities hidden to prevent retaliation from the Hong Kong government and the Chinese communist regime.
Everyone has a bad feeling that China will abuse this and they might persecute political or religious dissidents in Hong Kong.
Workers, students and residents took part in the 2-day strike.
I feel that I need to voice out, and before we can't voice out anymore.
I hope the Carrie Lam will step down.
The citizens have 5 demands for the government of Hong Kong. They want the extradition bill to be fully withdrawn, followed by an independent inquiry into police actions. Citizens are also calling for authorities to retract previous characterizations of protesters as rioters, for those arrested during the protest to be exonerated and released, and for open, direct elections.
The most heated topic is whether the independent commissions of inquiries, and we emphasize that this inquiry is not only focused on any one group of the people. It's talking about the entire extradition bill's problems. How does it occur and how was the handling?
People are growing frustrated with leadership being unable to resolve problems in Hong Kong
pro-government allegations saying that protesters like these young ones, they probably taken money from America, from the foreign influences. And under this investigation, they should be making clear that who was the one so-called taking money.
With over 1,000 protesters arrested since mid-June and the level of police violence escalating, citizens are here to send a clear message to the government that they want an independent inquiry into what's going on and the extradition bill to be fully withdrawn. Jeremy Sandberg, NTD News, Hong Kong.
Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam said on Tuesday that she has never offered to step down, a day after an audio recording emerged of her saying she would quit if she had a choice.
In the press conference, Lam said her government had the confidence of Beijing and could bring an end to the current crisis. She also denied offering resignation to the Chinese regime.
I have not even contemplated to discuss a resignation with the Central People's Government. The choice of not resigning is my own choice.
Her comments came less than 24 hours after a leaked audio recording obtained by Reuters was published. In the closed-door meeting, the chief executive can be heard saying she had caused havoc for introducing the extradition bill and that it was unforgivable.
If I have a choice, the first thing is to quit. Having made a deep apology is to step down. So I make a plea to you for your forgiveness.
Lam said her ability to resolve the crisis was very, very limited, as the issue had been elevated to a national level, a reference to the leadership in Beijing. The remarks suggest Beijing has been directing the Hong Kong government's response to the months of protest. Lam added she was disappointed her speech had been leaked, but doesn't deny the authenticity of the audio recording. Tang Baichao, former 1989 Tiananmen Square uprising student leader and president of the Democracy Academy of China, posted on his Twitter account saying that the leaked audio proves that Carrie Lam is not at liberty to quit and that she has become a puppet of the Chinese Communist Party. NTD News.
A Hong Kong activist urged Taiwan to help promote democracy amid the city's worst political crisis in a decade, calling for a mass rally before the 70th anniversary of communist rule in China on October 1st.
Hong Kong, a former British colony, returned to Chinese rule in 1997 under a one country, two systems formula guaranteeing its freedoms. China has suggested the same formula for Taiwan, a nation in its own right, but which China considers an unruly breakaway province. Joshua Wong, a key figure of the 2014 Hong Kong Umbrella Movement, was invited by a Taiwanese advocacy group to give a speech calling for a mass rally to show solidarity with the people of Hong Kong.
When one country, two system is fully collapsed already, we urge people in Taiwan, it's time to safeguard Hong Kong and to support peoples in Hong Kong to fight for free election.
Wong is on bail after he was arrested last week, charged with inciting and participating in an unauthorized assembly outside Hong Kong police headquarters on June 21st. Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen said her administration was keeping a close eye on the Hong Kong crisis. NTD News.
A Taliban vehicle bomb late on Monday in the Afghan capital Kabul killed at least 16 people and wounded nearly 120. The blast came just as the special U.S. envoy for peace in Afghanistan was outlining details of a draft accord with the insurgent movement in a TV interview.
A deadly blast tore through the Afghan capital Kabul late Monday. The car bomb explosion sent up a column of smoke and flames. Several people were killed and at least 100 were wounded. One victim spoke to Reuters amid grim scenes in a local hospital.
It was a powerful explosion that collapsed the ceiling of my house and shattered the windows. My nephew was martyred and my sons, my uncle, my two other nephews and myself got hurt in the blast.
The blast came at the same time as a senior U.S. diplomat was outlining the details of a draft Taliban peace accord on TV. Taliban and U.S. negotiators had reached a peace deal in principle in Doha over the weekend. But Monday's bombing and major Taliban attacks in two northern cities in recent days have added to questions swirling around the agreement. That's because it doesn't include a formal ceasefire. The U.S. diplomat Zalmay Khalilzad is the special U.S. envoy for peace in Afghanistan. He said the deal would see 5,000 U.S. troops pulled out of the country and 5 bases closed. That would be in exchange for Taliban guarantees that the country won't be used as a base for militant attacks against the U.S. and its allies. An Afghan official spokesman says Monday's blast was caused by a tractor packed with explosives. They also say it was set off near a residential compound used by foreign staff of international groups, including aid organizations. A Taliban spokesman said the attack had destroyed rooms and offices of, quote, invaders.
Britain's prime minister says the chances of a Brexit deal are rising. Meanwhile, he is warning rebel MPs that if they vote against him to stop a no-deal Brexit, they will be kicked out.
Outside Downing Street, Prime Minister Boris Johnson restated that the UK will leave the EU on the 31st of October.
To show our friends in Brussels that we are united in our purpose, MPs should vote with the government against Corbyn's pointless delay.
An appeal to rebel Conservative MPs to back him and not opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn. According to a senior source from the Whip's office, which ensures politicians vote in line with the party, MPs who vote against no deal are to be expelled and banned from standing as a Conservative candidate. The warning is directed at former ministers who have been vocal about their opposition of a no deal, like former Justice Secretary David Gawk, former Chancellor Philip Hammond and Rory Stewart, who used to be International Development Secretary. They're part of what some people call the Gawkward Squad.
Johnson will shut down Parliament for 5 weeks before the Brexit deadline, limiting time for MPs to block a no deal. Earlier, Jeremy Corbyn called for a general election and said that his party could help stop a no deal Brexit.
We are working with other parties to do everything necessary to pull our country back from the brink. Then we need a general election.
In an already uncertain atmosphere, a general election may not bring more clarity. Parties are internally divided over Brexit, and it has caused the emergence of new parties like the Brexit Party and a resurgence of the pro-EU Liberal Democrats. Boris Johnson has a wafer-thin majority of just one seat. The last general election called by Theresa May in 2017 actually reduced the majority of the Conservatives, who then had to be propped up by the Northern Irish Democratic Unionist Party.
We know that public opinion is very divided, very polarised. There's no reason to expect that a general election provides any real way forward.
Meanwhile, the government have this week taken up their first advertisements warning people and business owners to get ready for Brexit. Jane Worrell, NTD News.
Also in London, practitioners of the Falun Gong spiritual practice came from across Europe last weekend to call for an end to a 20-year-long persecution in China.
A parade showing the beauty of an ancient practice. About 1,000 practitioners of a traditional meditation discipline called Falun Dafa, also known as Falun Gong, came together from across the UK and Europe.
Coming together and showing the world the beauty of Falun Dafa.
Important benefit for me, it's really the calm.
The body-mind practice includes a seated meditation and standing Qigong exercises, and its main tenets are truthfulness, compassion and tolerance.
Ancient history-tested principles, truthfulness, compassion and tolerance. My Polish grandmother was teaching me those principles.
Walking past 10 Downing Street, the Prime Minister's house, a European marching band. But overshadowing the beauty is suppression in China. When more people in China started practicing it than were in the Communist Party, former leader Jiang Zemin tried to eradicate the practice.
My father and I were held in a brainwashing centre for 21 days.
Practitioners of Falun Gong who believe in truth, compassion and tolerance have been persecuted in China for 20 years. The practitioners behind me here in Parliament Square are calling for an end to this brutal persecution. A people's tribunal held in London found in June that they are victims to a crime that for many is hard to believe, forced organ harvesting. In its final judgment, the tribunal concluded forced organ harvesting still is happening in China and described China as a criminal state.
World powers, the politicians, the legislators across the world should bring pressure on China to bear to stop this horrendous practice of killing individuals for stealing their organs.
Enver Toti, who testified at the tribunal that he removed the organs from a prisoner who was still alive, was at the protest opposite Parliament.
We can compare to the Holocaust. When the Holocaust started anew, nobody believed it. then by the time they regret it, it has already caused 6 million people die.
20 years since the persecution of Falun Gong in China started, and practitioners and supporters continue to peacefully raise awareness. Zheng Weiruo, NTD News.
The French government is set to propose a controversial medical bill by the end of September that will make it easier for women to get abortions and make surrogacy legal, among other things. The bill has faced pushback from a number of doctors and French citizens. David Vavise has the details.
Tensions are high ahead of the introduction of a controversial bill in Parliament September 24th by France's president that deals with abortion, fetal research, and the authorization of surrogacy. Unlike in the United States, where surrogacy is unrestricted, surrogacy has been banned in France for almost three decades. The new bill would open it up couples and single mothers who want to surrogate, including homosexuals and trans couples. And not only would surrogacy be legal, but it could possibly be covered by welfare programs, allowing women who pay for artificial insemination or surrogate mothers to be reimbursed.
French people need to know that the use of surrogate mothers costs 15,000 euros.
In one national poll last November, 80% of French people said they were against surrogacy. However, it has strong support from groups in the LGBTQ movement and the Freemasons.
It is very strange. The law said there would be a national referendum and debates, and very clearly the published public comments. The government's response was, who cares, we want it.
The controversial bill also makes it easier for women to get an abortion. In France, doctors can refuse to perform abortions. The new bill would make it a public service. According to this pro-life doctor, by making abortion a public service, the law could force all doctors to perform abortions.
In France, after authorizing abortion, the law will make it a public service. So in any public hospital, there must be a unit dedicated to abortions.
The bill was a campaign promise of French President Emmanuel Macron. The bill has become a flashpoint in French politics and has sparked heated public debate in the lead-up to its introduction. David Vives, NTD News.
The indigenous tribes living deep in the Amazon rainforest are facing the looming shadow of existential crisis as thousands of wildfires rage.
In Brazil, one native person expresses their concern. We are worried. For us, nature, the jungle, our territory is the same as a market. A supermarket that has several things, like the white men's supermarkets, which is equivalent to nature for us. Brazil's president argued that the forest needs to be exploited and Indian reservations vastly reduced. To tribe members, the wildfires symbolize the ideological differences between themselves and the profit-driven outside world. It is seeing the land, seeing the rainforest in the sense of profit that is the problem. The main problem is still profit. Then look at the land, look at the river, look at the rainforest on how you can profit with that. Then if they need to throw everything down, they throw it. Agrotoxics to the rivers. Now they are in a business that is soy. Tens of thousands of forest fires have been recorded in the Amazon during this year's dry season. The most in at least a decade. Many fires are believed to have been set by cattle and soy farmers. NTD News.
Hollywood monopolizes the film industry, but more independents are making their mark. There's a resurgence in art house films and now more ways to reach audiences. The first Montgomery International Film Festival is part of that.
Art house films have always been there from the beginning in the hearts and minds of filmmakers, and they will continue to be.
The first Montgomery International Film Festival was held at Gaithersburg, Maryland at the end of August. It attracted professionals from the U.S. and abroad. Nearly 1,000 films participated. The theme was return to art house films.
Individual producers, they have their own interests. It's not always about, like, oh, let me make a movie that's going to be popular for the audience. Like, art house film, it's got to be something that is of interest to me. So like a social message or something socially that I agree with.
Art house film, relatively speaking, it can stick to its original position, both in its content and form. It stands relatively fast. The development of digital film technology and the internet has made the creation and distribution of art house films easier and more convenient. Some non-professionals also join in.
It's wonderful, the time that we're living, because it opens a door for everyone that has a message to share, or they just want to be creative, or maybe they want to make people laugh.
And of course, things have become much wider now, because you can make a film for very little budget, but you can also make a film for a very large budget.
It is easier now, and anyone can make a film, so we have to start paying more attention to the quality issue, because films are an art form after all. A good story also needs to be told in a good way. It is estimated that there are 4,000 to 6,000 film festivals around the world each year, providing film artists with many opportunities to show their work. The Montgomery International Film Festival also wants to build a platform to connect independent filmmakers with investors and distributors, offering more opportunities for outstanding art house and independent films. Reporting by Kitty Wong, NTD News.
And New York City's West Indian Day Parade was a glimmer of color on Labor Day, and despite the rain, the usual throngs were there to watch.
The annual parade is a colorful showcase of costumes and dancing from throughout the Caribbean. It drew people from Caribbean nations like Barbados, the Bahamas, Trinidad, Jamaica, and Dominica.
I love it. It's so full of life, and there's nothing like the colors, the dancing, music, food. We came out here in the rain just to see this.
My second time. I feel great.
It's so colorful and celebrates the best of New York.
The organizers didn't let the weather dampen one of Brooklyn's top yearly cultural celebrations. City and state officials also came out to celebrate alongside New York's Caribbean community.
A great way to celebrate the contributions of the Caribbean community here in New York City and in New York State. So, rain or shine, it's a great parade.
This is our chance to say this is a place where immigrants have built this city. Not only that, it is an economic infusion of our city. Millions of people on the parkway, they spend money, they go to restaurants, hotels.
In years past, the parade has been marred by violence. Several people have been shot or stabbed during or before the parade. But this year and last year have been peaceful. However, police retained a strong presence in the parade just in case. This parade was part of Caribbean Carnival Week.
Over to South Korea, where animals in a zoo were treated to special dishes today in celebration of the upcoming Korean Thanksgiving holidays.
Zookeepers are preparing traditional Korean plates with bananas, apples, and tomatoes for red pandas, ring-tailed lemurs, and elephants. Because the panda is eating that delicious fruit, I want to eat that fruit on Thanksgiving Day too. Koreans observe the traditional harvest festival by visiting their ancestral hometowns and sharing traditional food during the three-day holiday. The animals at Everland Amusement Park, about 34 miles south of Seoul, also get to celebrate.
In celebration of Thanksgiving, we prepared this to spend a fun time with the animals living in the zoo. We've prepared more special ways to feed the animals, such as traditional Korean plates and bananas in the hay.
The annual holiday, which has been marked on August 15th of the lunar calendar, will fall on September 13th this year. NTD News.
And that's all for today's NTD Midday News. Join us again this evening. I'm Tiffany Meyer.